And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM now. Just you, just me. I'm looking forward to this. Hey, by the way, tomorrow in the greater Los Angeles area, I shall be at the City of Angels Cosmic Awakening Conference. A whole group of great people are going to be there. Go to our calendar schedule or look at the highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com if you're in the LA area. It's my first event of the year, so come on out and see us. Great doppelganger story for you, by the way. By the way, those of you who do not know what a doppelganger is, in fiction and folklore, it's the paranormal double of a living person, generally the sinister form of the other person, regarded by some to be a harbinger of bad luck. So one of the things I want to talk with you about is doppelgangers. Have you ever seen a doppelganger, and did you have bad luck? One of the things I saw today, going into the post office here in Los Angeles, a lady was going in the door, and coming out the door was another lady. They stopped and looked at each other, and I would swear I was looking at a mirror of one lady. They looked identical. It was really eerie. But, I mean, they looked at each other like, you're me. And they just kept staring at each other until one walked away and got into her car, and off they went. Doppelganger. And so much more with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. By the way, I ran into Mel Gibson late this afternoon. That was quite a treat. And in spite of all the things that he has gone through recently, nice guy. Nice guy indeed. And just, you know, very brief little hello, goodbye. But I should have invited him on the program. I'll have Tom chase him down to try to do that. Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you for the rest of tonight, and we'll be picking it up by going to Stephanie in the city of New York. How cold is it out there, Steph?
Yes, hi. It's okay. It's actually, you know, it's the weather's calming down, and it's all right. It's not bad. Thanks for asking.
Good.
George, the reason I called was because I wanted to let you know that I love your show because you have a variety of topics, and it's always a surprise. I never know, you know, what I'm going to hear, and I make it a point. Believe it or not, I do listen every night, and I just love your show. I get really excited because you have, you know, a ton of different topics, and that's just what I'm looking for. And I wanted to also let you know that I had a very difficult time. I won't go into the particulars, but if I did, you'd fully understand where I was suicidal. It had to do with death, the deaths of my parents. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, it gets emotionally
draining. They both died on the same day.
Ugh.
And I was very suicidal mentally, but when I would, I looked forward to your show at night because just listening to it would calm me down. I'd feel very safe because you come across so nice and caring that it would make me feel like the world wasn't a dangerous place because of that traumatic event that I had. I started feeling what's going to happen next. And when I would listen to your show, it just really was very actually, you could say therapeutic because, you know, you have a very nice speaking voice and, you know, it was a very difficult time for me. And I just wanted to thank you for that. It probably sounds like a weird thing to be saying, but it's really true. And,
well, you're very well.
You know, I appreciate the opportunity to tell you myself.
Good
you know,
you.
That.
And how are you now? Are you stronger?
I'm sorry?
Are you stronger now?
I am. I am stronger now. And, you know, thank you for asking. And, you know, I, of course, I had to seek, you know, some, you know, professional help. But I'm just saying that, you know, we've heard the expression, it takes a village. Well, you know, in my case, you were part of that village, you know, listening to your show. And I really mean that. I really, really do. I just really appreciate what you did for me without even knowing it.
Well,
I was.
I'm glad we did. I'm glad
Yeah.
we did. Okay. Well, you keep listening, and we'll stay here.
Okay.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Yep. You know, let me tell you something. Life is tough. You've got the ups and downs. Let me tell you, we've all been through them. We've all been through them. You know, I'm going through some personal stuff now with my sister, who's fighting that stage four brain cancer. And, you know, it is a tough, tough thing. You know, my dad died a few years ago, age of 88. My mom is 84, very spry, but she's 84. You know, life has strange things that it gives to us. And you just have to recognize it, and you can't give up, as rough as it might be. And so I appreciate that and what you have just said about what we do on this program, because we're very close to people who are listening to the show. And though we will give you a variety of things, we're going to entertain you, we're going to give you information, we're going to just do all kinds of things on this program. Every other day, there's something different. Some of you may love what we've got on, some of you may not. But every day we've got something different for somebody, because, you know, we deal with such a wide range of people with different likes and dislikes. And you can't do the same thing all the time, or you're going to lose that. And so you got to make it different, and you got to toss in that variety, and that's what we do. So I'm glad that you have all stayed with us so many years. It's hard to believe we're now going on my 12th year. You know, we just wrapped up number 11, and now we're going for 12. And wow, where does it go? Just really goes way too fast. Okay, let's go to some other calls. And again, anybody run into their doppelganger, check in with me. We've got Bill, truck driving in Ohio. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Hey, George, how's it going?
I'm well, good.
Oh, that's great. Hey, I got a question about a gamma ray source on Mars. I don't know if you have the answer, but I know you have Richard Hoagland on a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe if you don't have the answer, you could pass the question on to him. There was a gamma ray source that was identified around Mare Acidalium, specifically around the Terra Camaria area right there. There's like three asteroid or bolide impacts right there. And the original, they were originally thinking that it may have been like, it may be an underground natural fission reactor, like in Gabon, in Africa, in Oklo.
Okay.
Yeah, and this just kind of faded from the news. I mean, you know, the unusual news and the regular news. The story faded away. And I was just wondering if you have any information on that.
There was one in 2010. I don't know of any recent ones. There has been talk, though, that gamma ray bursts could potentially destroy our planet. So, you know, they're coming from out there, but I don't know about any bursts specifically from Mars. But I will talk to Hoagland about that. He's going to be on the program in the not too distant future. So that'll be one of the many things, Bill, that I will ask him about. You never know. Let's go to Jordan, Canyon Country, California. First-time caller. Jordan, go for it.
Hey, how's it going, George?
I'm well.
All right, so about ghosts and entities, I heard about it tonight. I've never seen one, and I've never experienced it before. And I was wondering if, like, introducing the Ouija board to myself and would help me out, you know,
yeah,
in that
voyage. Don't do it. I wouldn't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me the same thing. And but, like, if not the Ouija board, then how else?
Well, you know what? I think one of the techniques that I've used in the book we wrote with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Talking to the Dead, which you can get on Amazon cheap these days, tells you about various things about talking to the dead, what's been available, what you can do. But I think one of the best ways might be in your dream state, believe it or not. Before you go to bed, you just keep concentrating on the other side. you'll be amazed at how some of the things are that come over. Now, back to the Ouija board for a moment, because I'm not going to recommend that you use it. Our good old friend Kieran Dolman, who's written a book about psychic phenomena and loves the Ouija board, is probably jumping up and down right now. But I wouldn't recommend it, but it will open up a portal. It will open up a door to the other side, except what comes through might not be what you want or expect. That's why I wouldn't play around with something like that. You know, it's a game, and it's been a game that's been around for a long, long time. I wonder how many people let these evil entities in not knowing what they were doing. Let's go to the St. Augustine, Florida. Great spot. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. What's going on down there, Sam?
Not too much. You know, I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
You and Artho, Drummy Wells, you know, you make work a lot better.
We're all there. It's fun.
But anyways, yeah, your last guest talking about exorcism and ghosts.
Yeah.
I think they are they're self-created by our own energy.
Tell me more. Yeah? Tell me more.
Well, you know, like, you can manipulate things, you know, like almost like a placebo effect.
Okay.
But, like, okay, we have energy. We have energy in us, you know, like, we have, like, volts and stuff. We can, like, create these own things, and like the law of attraction. I guess that's the best way to put it.
All right. Well, that's very possible. And you're saying we create these ourselves.
Yeah,
that's possible. I mean, those things do happen. But think about life after death. We don't create that entity. We don't create that spirit. It's out there. It's there. And I think those are real. We have Jay in Birmingham, Alabama now. Hey, Jay, go ahead.
Greetings and salutations. Many thank yous for entertaining us and informing us. Your show, God has his hand on you, my friend.
Well, I hope he never lets it go.
Well, we have to believe that he does. I don't agree with everything that you have on your show.
I understand.
But, like your caller from New York, we have to look at a variety of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean we agree with them. I have a friend who is going to run for the political subdivision. He's going to run for office in that political subdivision. And the Constitutional Sheriff's Association of the U.S., or the Constitutional Sheriff's Association of this country, is our last stand. We are under military rule right now. All the things that are going on, all the things that are happening with people who are being beaten up over nothing, due process needs to be reinstalled. And this is one of the things that is going to be a big issue in this next election for Congress. And I'm going to roll here shortly. We need to demand due process from our public servants. You hear law enforcement. That term is a martial law term. We are basically under martial law now. We need to hear peace officers. There's also a Constitutional Police Officers Association. We need to get back to due process. That's what the Constitution says. On that one, I will be talking to you in the near future. Thank you, George Norrie.
You are very right. You're spot on. Look, we support police officers on this program. They've got one of the hardest jobs out there. And they will tell you that, you know what, you can have some bad apples in any basket. And so you've got a lot of overzealous police officers out there who are having sometimes bad days, and they do stupid things. And thank God for cameras now. They're all over the place when it comes to that. That's when a camera works, by the way. I do not like the red light cameras for traffic. I don't think it works. A number of cities are now starting to drop them, or they're losing in court. But the one good thing they do is, you know, they are eyes, they are witnesses to things. And that's so important. I think the camera was responsible for finding the Boston bombers, right? Maria in Los Angeles. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
So short. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I heard you mention about your sister. I just wanted to say that I've heard of a guy by the name of Leonard Caldwell, who was instrumental in curing over 300,000 people of cancer.
He says that. That is correct.
Yes, and maybe, I don't know, you should maybe have him on your show. And also there's a guy by the name of Alfredo Bowman, or he's called Dr. Seti.
Okay, I don't know him.
He was...
I don't know him. I'll check into him.
Dr. Seti, he's been instrumental, too, in curing many diseases, AIDS, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, herpes, all kinds of stuff that they're saying that
Yikes.
There's no cure for. And he has like an OSHA institute in the Caribbean.
Okay. Well, you know, there's two camps here. I am a strong believer in natural remedies and augment medicine. You know what? I don't think you should forget modern medicine. But I do think you should look at alternative remedies and really use it and use it a lot. But there are a lot of people who just won't do that. You know, they will stay away from that traditional medicine. And, you know, you got to be careful. You have to have a balance. I'm not going to get too much into my sister's situation, but she's into... She's into modern medicine. She has gone holistic a little bit. She's fighting the good fight. It is not easy for her. But Maria, thank you. Tom is in St. Louis, the old hometown. Still cold out there, Tom?
How you doing, George?
Good. I'll be out there in about a month. I hope it warms up.
Well, we're getting a brief warm up. It's going to last about one day. As a matter of fact, it's warming up outside right now. Like I said, it's going to last one day, and then we're back into the polar plunge.
Oh, my God. It just doesn't stop.
So, by Sunday, if that's when you're coming.
No. I'm a month away.
Oh, well, a month away, then it'll be spring by then.
I hope
Hopefully.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, you had a caller earlier was talking about wanting to know about talking to the dead or getting in touch with dead
yeah.
relatives, perhaps parents or siblings or loved ones.
And he thought about using the Ouija board. No.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm not a, I was born and raised a Catholic, so I a Ouija board's something that's, you know, spooky, scary. I don't want nothing to do with it. But you know what I found? And I don't, actually, George, I was born and raised in St. Louis, but I lived down in a small little Ozark town now called Hematite, Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Know it well.
And I found the best thing in the world when you're depressed or just for any kind of positive mental therapy is there's a country road by my house, and it goes along beautiful Ozark stream. And I walk along this road, and, you know, I just, as strange as it sounds, I talk to the trees and the rocks and the sky. Sometimes I walk at night.
It calms
I see
you.
A million stars.
It has that that calming effect for you. My gosh, that half hour went by fast. More to come, plus Tom will take a text message or two when we come right back. It is shout-out time. Those of you supporting us and listening on 570 radio stations across North America, hello, and thank you. Coast Insiders, 15 cents a day, by the way. Sirius XM, Indie Channel 104. And then the various chat rooms, the group at Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, hello there. Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery IRC. Those of you following us on Facebook and Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group. Omega Point Chronicles Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, of course, Kane Hodder and Group, and then our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Hey, before we go to calls, let me read you the email that just came in from Blanca. It's a nice and warm, sunny morning on a sunny day in San Diego, California. And my family and I had just prepared pancakes, eggs, bacon for breakfast. It's a lot of work to put a grand slam breakfast together, but we all enjoyed the saltiness and sweetness of the meal. along with coffee and milk. Next came cleaning up after a big breakfast, and usually the mother is the one who ends up with the chore. So I picked up the dishes, I started hand washing them in the sink. It's a tedious, hypnotic, boring job, but I proceeded with the task, and then suddenly, from the corner of my eye, I see half of my dog walking past me in the hallway. I think to myself, how in the heck did she get in? And I tell my daughter Monica to get the dog out. I turn back to washing the dishes, and she comes into the kitchen and says, Mom, the dog is outside. I could not believe my eyes, and I explained to Monica how I just saw the tail end of the rump of the dog going by. She then tells me that while she was eating breakfast, she also saw the tail end and rump of the dog going by inside the hallway during our meal, but then she looked out the sliding window and saw our dog outside. She thought it was just her imagination. But at that moment, I validated what she saw, and she validated what I saw. We attempted to reason what had just occurred. Was it a tear in the fabric of space and time? Past imprints of the dog walking in the hallway? A double apparition? A doppelganger of my dog? We didn't have a specific quantum physics answer, but we knew we had not imagined the tail end of the dog walking down the hallway. We are now firm believers of Einstein's relativity theory and distortions of space and time. How about that? Let's go to the phones. First-time caller, Terry, in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Terry, welcome.
Well, thank you, George. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, God bless you, and prayers for your sister.
Thank you. Thank you.
I lost my older sister back in the 90s to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma throughout her whole body, God bless her.
Yeah.
And she fought the good fight, and I was in the hospital with her every day. In fact, I took a six-month leave of absence from my job to be with her every day.
Good for you.
Talking about doppelgangers, I'd met my twin back when I was 19 working training electrical at Boeing, wiring aircraft. I kept having my different instructors pointing me towards different doors and then asking me, how come you changed your shirt? And I was wearing a blue shirt that day, and I was going in a door, and one of the instructors turned me around and he says, I think your class is across the hall. I says, no, I've been going into this class every day this week. And we got into a discussion. He says, you know, you might check this out. He pointed me towards another door, and I walked in the door, and there was one guy in the room on the chalkboard, doing some lesson work.
Mm-hmm.
I walked up to him, tapped on his shoulder, turned around, and it was like I was looking at myself.
What, and did he have a strange look on his face, too?
He looked at me, I looked at him, and it was just like we were looking in a mirror. I could have touched my eyebrow and expected him to touch his eyebrow at the same time.
That's weird.
He says, I've heard there's someone that looks like me. And I said, same here. And he had a red shirt on, I was wearing a blue shirt, and people were pointing him to other doorways and me to other doorways, and I was born in North Dakota. We got to talking for about 2 minutes. He's from Montana. His name was John. And same hair, same eyes, same height, weight, everything. And when I went home and told my wife that night, I met my twin today, she couldn't believe it. If I had thought about it, I would have took a camera the next day and sought him out.
Amazing.
And had side-by-side photo. But
you don't think you had a little twin brother, Terry, that mom and dad gave away?
Yeah, I've asked my mom a couple times, is there something you're not telling me?
That's a great story.
I've been listening to Art Bell since Gulf War I.
Yeah, that goes way back.
And I've been listening to you since day one.
Way back. Well, thank you. Thanks for listening so long.
Well, thank you. And going on 12 years now, time flies.
It sure does.
I was an EMT in my early days and started doing death and dying on a daily basis, so I switched over into security work. 18 years in ambulance and going on 16 now in security work.
Did you find that with the ambulance work that during full moons you were very busy?
Oh, there's truth in that.
Yeah.
And also I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, and I used to use a lot in the ambulance for pain relief and reduction and release.
To calm people down and everything. That's smart.
Well, it works. When I was 12 years old, I had a broken right arm set under hypnosis, and that fascinated me and put me on the path of learning it myself. In fact, I went through, Charles Tebbets was a leader in hypnotism training, and I went through all three of his classes, all the way up to certified clinical. And I really enjoyed your previous program on Rick calling it. He was right on. He's one of the more astute.
He sure is. Hey, Terry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Tom. He's got a text message for us. Tommy, what do you got for us?
Hey, do more people get hurt during a full moon?
I have interviewed EMTs and police officers, and they all of them say that during full moons, they get more runs, more violence, more hospital visits, everything.
That is really interesting. Never heard that.
Yep.
This is a text from Sasha in West Hartford, Connecticut. She says, I listen to the show all the time, and every time I hear you mention a Ouija board, I get a chill. I feel childish being scared of them. Any suggestions on facing my fear?
Yeah, don't use it. Simple as that.
But she has to listen to the show.
Well, I know, but you don't have to be afraid listening to the show.
Well, obviously she is every time you mention a Ouija board.
But, you know, just don't use it. All right, thanks, Tommy.
See ya.
Let's go west of the Rockies. John is with us in Knights Landing, California. John, good morning.
George, it's good to talk to you again.
Hey, John.
Tom, thank you for your good work, too. You guys, I've been listening to this show since 1996. When I was turned on to it. And I was addicted then, I'm addicted now. And I'm so glad you guys are carrying on that coast-to-coast AM flag.
The flag will be up forever.
Yes. I'm so glad you guys are doing such good work. I called to talk about such a pedestrian topic, the weather, but I've lived here in Northern California pretty much my entire life, and I've never seen it like this before. It's so strange. It's like springtime.
And right, and no rain, nothing.
No rain, nothing, not a drop. We've got nothing.
What's going to happen in the real summer after this drought? I mean, this could be a disaster.
It could be a very big disaster. This is the breadbasket for most of this side, the west of the Rockies. I mean, this is ag country.
Yeah,
we produce all the food and livestock from here all the way down to L.A. They're talking about all kinds of strange ideas to get water. And I'm watching the Sacramento River right here next to my house just sinking and sinking. It's turning into a creek.
That is scary. At one,
I know. It is really scary.
At what point was that very, very high? A couple of years ago?
As far as the levels of the river?
Yeah.
We've just been dropping for the past 5 years, and on top of it, we're getting all kinds of, like, I'm seeing blooms of mosquitoes and mice.
Oh, geez.
And all kinds of things like this, like the seven plagues out here.
Yeah, these critters are popping up all over the place.
Oh, yeah, the mice.
Next week, I'll be talking to Bob Zimmerman for a couple hours. He's a space historian, but he's got a major story about climate change that he wants to reveal on Coast to Coast. So we're going to be doing that next week. Let's go to Devin in Westminster, Colorado on the wild card line. Hey, Dev, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
Thanks. Thanks for taking the call. Sure. Let's see. What I was thinking about was... you know Orville Redenbacher?
Yeah, the popcorn guy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the thing is, I was born on the day he died. And it's kind of interesting because I've been, well, I look like him. I even wear, you know, bow ties and have the same glasses. and someone pointed that out to me, and I was like, yeah, I wonder, you know, if he's still around. And yeah, it was so weird because he died on the day I was born.
That
so,
is strange. You think you might be the reincarnated Orville Redenbacher?
I really do think so. I really do think I might be the reincarnation of him. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what to do with that.
That's interesting. Well, you know, he did die. He died in 1995. So
yeah,
September 19th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right, and I'm looking at a picture of him right now, so I can see, Deb, what you look like. And there you are. Do you wear those thick black glasses that he always used to wear?
Yes.
Ha.
Yeah. I know. It's so funny.
It is. You're the younger version of him.
Yeah.
That is weird. Now, are you into popcorn?
Yeah, very.
By the way, do you know how he died?
A heart attack, I think.
Drowning.
Oh, yeah, in the jacuzzi.
Yeah. Are you afraid of water?
Not really.
Okay. If you would have said that, then maybe we would have been on to something.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Do you think there's anything I'm supposed to do, to carry on his tradition?
Go light on the butter.
Yeah, right.
All right, take care. he's the reincarnated Orville Redenbacher. We have finally talked to him. He passed on in 1995, but he came back really fast. You never know. Jim in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. It's your turn.
Welcome, George. How are you doing?
Okay, Jimmy. Thank you.
That's good. Hey, about a month ago or so, I was listening to your program, and there was somebody on there who was saying that they had, him and a buddy of his, had shot a Bigfoot. And I was just wondering, you know, they said they had shot him, and then he went back to the place where they had buried him,
mm-hmm.
and that the body had disappeared. It was gone. And I was just wondering if they had, because according to what he said, he was going out and still looking in that area, trying to locate it again. I was wondering if you had heard anything else about that or anything on that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have talked to a couple other Bigfoot experts, and they don't think that's a real story at all. And then, of course, there's another story popping around that Bigfoot has been captured and is being shown on display. They, too, don't think that's a real thing at all. But we're going to do more on that with some of the real experts looking for Bigfoot. There's a big expedition planned in a few months, and we're going to talk about that. But everybody I've talked to they do not believe that anybody has a shot Bigfoot at all. So take that with a grain, Jim, but that's the way they see it. Let's go next to Bismarck, North Dakota. We've got Shane on the line on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Thank you very much, George. It's super cool to talk to you.
Thank you.
Listen to you for a very long time, and just appreciate everything that you do for everybody who tunes in. But I have a really cool doppelganger story.
Okay.
That happened to my mom back in 74, and she was dating this guy, and apparently he was a really cool guy, but they were getting ready to go to a drive-in movie date, and she had gone to pick him up, and it started to rain, and so she went and sat out in the car, and she was waiting for him, and she was messing with the radio, and she looked up, and he was standing in front of the car in the outfit that she, like, had just seen him wearing in the house as he was getting ready to go, and he had, you know, long hair. They were hippies, and you know, all this long hair was like wet, hanging in his face and stuff. And he was like scowling at her. He was giving her this really mean look, she said, and she couldn't figure out what the hell he was doing, standing out in the rain. Like, get in the car. And so she, you know, kind of motioned for him to come in the car, and he just stood there like he was like frozen, and he just glared at her, and she kind of started getting freaked out, and she had a cigarette in her hand, and she went to roll the window down, and she dropped the cigarette, and she bent down to pick it up, and it, you know, was within seconds, but she looked up, and he was gone, and so she was like, what? He went back in the house? Like, what's going on here? And this guy lived out in the country, like 5 miles out of town, so, you know, there weren't people, you know, wandering around that would have resembled him. And anyway, so she ran in the house real quick, and he was just coming out of the door on the inside entryway of this house, and she was like, why didn't you get in the car when you were out there? And he's like, I'm just coming out now. And she goes, how did you get your hair dry so quick?
Oh,
and he's like, what are you talking about? And she was totally freaked out. And, yeah, she thinks it was his doppelganger. But I thought that was a pretty cool
that
story.
That's a great story. That is, yeah. They are everywhere, these doppelgangers. By the way, I take another call or two, and then we've got a full hour of open lines to go here. Anthony is in Philadelphia, Ohio. Anthony, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
Philadelphia, PA.
Oh, super. Okay, yeah, okay. It's got Ohio up there on the old thing.
All right.
Tommy?
I just wanted to tell you about what we went through in this house that we bought in 2000 when we first moved in here. And before I moved in here, I was not religious. I was not spiritual. I had, I had no religious beliefs whatsoever. And when we first moved in here, the first 6 months that we were in here, it was so bad that we were actually thinking about selling the house, putting it back on the market, and just fleeing. And it was mainly centered around me, and it still is. But now it bothers my wife every once in a while. It makes an appearance. But the two experiences that really stand out that I wanted to tell you about. But, oh, yeah, plus we also had a paranormal group that has a show on Animal Planet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they did an investigation there, and they caught a few things.
Super.
And they posted it on their site. And the one experience, which is really, well, there's two, but the one that is really strange, and two paranormal investigators that I called out to for help before the team came said that this is rare. I was whenever I would get down on the ground, lay on the floor, you know how your dog comes running over to you and starts licking you in the face?
Yeah.
You know, you're lying down. Well,
yeah.
I was lying down on the floor. To my left was the stairs going upstairs, and to my right, my dog was lying right next to the front door. I laid down on the floor, and I was calling out to her, come here, Tiny, come here, you know, and patting my leg. And she had this strange look on her face. I'll never forget it. And she got up slowly, was walking toward me to my right. And she didn't run and jump on my chest. She walked around from my right, walked behind me. Now, I'm waiting for her to come to my left. She never did. I sat up. And I'm going, Tiny, Tiny, I'm calling to her. Lo and behold, here comes the real Tiny, comes running down the steps.
See, a doppelganger dog as well. By the way, Tom tells me, there is a new Philadelphia, Ohio, so we'll keep him around another week. We'll be back.